You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
100. Poll question. I don't know if we'll stay what we had with in the first hour of the program as we move into the second hour of this broadcast. McLovin?
First hour was, who would you start a franchise with? Mahomes, Justin Herbert, or Josh Allen? Mahomes is now running away with it.
Okay.
We have a completely trivial and silly poll option.
Oh, okay.
The bit of distraction based on your wardrobe for today.
Oh, I got my Kraken sweatshirt on today.
Is the Seattle Kraken the coolest team nickname out there right now? I threw out some other options. The Oklahoma City Thunder, the Raiders is always a classic. The Brewers, everyone loves the Brewers. Maybe the Memphis Grizzlies.
Really?
I don't know. I have no other. There's no one even close.
Like the Brewers is the coolest team nickname?
I've lost. I mean, Kraken is by far the coolest name out there. Golden Knights?
Yeah. I haven't given it much thought. I just put on the sweatshirt today. I was trying to fly the colors after the Kraken made their debut. I've been a Kraken fan for years now. Yeah, Paul.
Well, I do like Wisconsin, though, because the Brewers, your team's named after beer. Yeah. And then the football team, the Packers, is named after basically meat, the Acme meat packing plant. Yeah. I respect the heck out of that.
Well, okay, maybe if you did that, you got two teams in a city. Like, what's the best two-team city as far as nicknames go? Yeah, see.
Well, what if you got team names by state? You can take all the team names in the state. So, like, Wisconsin gets the Packers and, you know, et cetera.
Yeah. ETC, ETC.
ETC, ETC.
Yeah, yeah, point.
I enjoy names that don't fit whatsoever. Like the Vancouver Grizzlies, that made a lot of sense. I've never been to Vancouver, but it seems like there's grizzly activity. I've been to Memphis, and I've never seen a bear on the streets. Memphis Grizzlies is fun.
Okay.
That's like the Utah Jazz. There's not a lot of jazz in Utah.
You've been to Salt Lake City.
Yes,
not a hotbed of jazz.
Yeah, I went looking. I didn't hear it. Yes, McClellan.
What is a Dodger? A Los Angeles Dodger? That's like a Brooklyn train Dodger? I don't even know what that means.
I think it goes back to the train or trolley cars in Brooklyn. Does that sound right?
That does sound right. Most of these names don't even make sense. Kraken is super cool. It reminds me of a Battle of the Greek Titans.
Do you know what Kraken is?
Yeah, it's like a giant sea monster,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, Paulie.
Yeah, they were originally the kind of local nickname was the Trolley Dodgers. It was attached to the Brooklyn Ball Club due to the complex maze of trolley cars that weaved its way through the borough of Brooklyn into their stadium.
Hmm.
And it was shortened to Dodgers.
Okay. And Dodgers facing the Giants coming up on Thursday night. So you have Buccaneers-Eagles Thursday night, and then you have Game 5, Dodgers and the Giants. Yes, McLovin?
I had another poll option. What would be the best World Series matchup for MLB, or like the juiciest? Would it be Dodgers-Astros, I think,
yes,
would win? Unless you would say the Dodgers-Red Sox?
Nope.
Nothing there?
Nope. Yeah. Dodgers-Astros. Because you can sell that. You can sell that to, you know, everybody. I mean, the Red Sox and the Giants are both great stories because I don't think there were high expectations for either of those teams. And their win totals might have been about the same preseason over-unders. But Dodgers-Astros, it feels like we need a rematch here. We're waiting for it. The Astros have gotten to the ALCS. They've done it in impressive fashion. Once again, that lineup is great. Altuve is still one of the more dangerous bats in the game. Dodgers, can they get by? You know, this is one of those where you keep saying, yeah, the Dodgers-Astros would be great. Dodgers get past the Giants here Thursday night in San Francisco. All right, come up with a poll question, McLovin, for the second hour.
Okay, one more option. All things being equal, based on what we said in the first hour, do you want your QB to run? The reason I ask that is because we've only had a few in history of running quarterbacks ever win a Super Bowl. So is this running trend a bit of a problem for these teams? Is this a long-term answer?
Well, I think the game has changed. And I think if you have designed runs, I'm more comfortable with that. But you know, a lot of this comes down to how do you run? That, you know, do you slide? Do you get out of bounds? That's what I want. It's the quarterback who wants to initiate contact. That's when I have a big problem with it. Because you can be athletic. But, you know, there's only, you know, Lamar Jackson he's different than everybody else. You know, Michael Vick was different than everybody else. There's only a couple of players in NFL history at that position who were just different than everybody else. And even Cam, after a while, I remember being in Denver you know, that that was opening night, and they beat up Cam Newton. Like, they it took a toll on him. They beat him up. And you just can't have it. I mean, you got Baker Mayfield trying to make a tackle. Now he's got a partially torn labrum. You just don't need that. You're going to get hit enough. The game is so violent. Don't add, subtract it the best you can. And I want Russell Wilson style. I don't need Josh Allen style. I want you to be able to avoid getting hit. Josh still takes on contact. Yeah, McLovin.
What do you think of teams that seem to abandon the running game, like the running back running game?
Well, when did this happen? Because you have the Titans who still use Derrick Henry. It felt like prior to that, it was Adrian Peterson that, you know, you had a guy that you were going to give a certain number of carries to every game. But, I mean, it feels like Derrick Henry is the outlier. He's the dinosaur that we just don't – like Christian McCaffrey. I would not load him up with as many carries. I'd get the ball, you know, get it to him in space and let him take advantage of his receiving skills. I don't want him going between the tackles. Alvin Kamara, the same thing. I want you out in space, not running through the line. But I don't know. You know, Najee Harris, I mean, they're using him as a pass receiver as much as they are a running back. I just, I don't know where that position is headed. Yeah, Paulie.
The two best rushing teams in the NFL this year so far, yards per game, the Cleveland Browns are almost at 190 rushing yards a game. The Cowboys are at 172, and then it drops off after the Titans. At the bottom, there's some decent teams, like the bad teams. Dolphins, Steelers, Jets are the worst rushing teams in the league.
But then, also, if you look at the Browns and the Cowboys, they have two running backs. That's great, because I don't want to give Zeke Elliott the ball 25 times, and I can bring in Tony Pollard. And what the Cleveland Browns have as well. If you split the carries, I love that. You know, the Patriots have been doing this for years, where it's just plug and play, interchangeable. And, you know, this guy is good at running. This guy's good at receiving. And, you know, Patriots seem to have, you know, they've had that formula with their running backs that they don't really rely on. Corey Dillon was the big name that they had as a running back. But aside from that, it's just like, hey, run the football. Catch the ball out of, be a safety valve for Brady. Yeah, McLovin.
Did you realize the Cowboys were that high on the list?
Of running?
Yeah, I thought Ezekiel Elliott was toast coming into this year. All of a sudden, they've backed to life.
He's played well. I just said, and people remind me of this, hey, I thought you said that Zeke Elliott was washed. No, I wouldn't pay him a second contract. And I said, I would, if you said, hey, we got to get rid of Zeke Elliott and $15 million a year, and we're going to, you know, have Tony Pollard, I would have said, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Bring him in. Third rounder. Hell yes. Go in there. I don't want a running back on a second contract. Yeah, McLovin.
It helps when you're not down 21-0 because you're defense and you can
That's
run it
true.
Over.
That's true. Yes. But this is where when they went 13-3, they controlled the line of scrimmage, ran the football, play action for Dak. And, you know, that's, you know, the Cowboys aren't that interesting right now. Because they're good. Like, there's no drama there. Right? Like, when you think about it, people are like, God, like, the Cowboys are good. You know, Trayvon Diggs, good. Micah Parsons, good. Now, if they lose a game that they're supposed to win, then all of a sudden it'll be like, whoa, what's wrong in Big D here? Now it's like, all right, there's really nothing to talk about other than they're playing really well. And that's why you look at what, you know, is Baker the quarterback for the future for the Browns? You know, the Aaron Rodgers drama, Ben Roethlisberger. Like, that's what we focus on in the media. You want to talk about, hey, let's talk about Tom Brady threw 5 touchdown passes. Okay, now what do we say? Like, we sort of, you know, we're looking for those teams that are in disrepair. You know, Cardinals are undefeated. Nobody's talking about the Cardinals. If they lose one or two in the row, yeah, I told you, thought that they were frauds there. You know, San Francisco, Trey Lance gets hurt, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, like this is what happens in this business. You know, nobody wants to focus on, man, that team's playing really well. It's like, all right, nothing to see here. Nobody's talking about the Packers, right? Playing well. Once they lose, okay. Yeah, McLovin.
How did they lose 38-3 to the Saints in week one?
I don't know.
That has got to be the weirdest anomaly scores.
Yeah. But every year, there's always one or two of those games for a team, and you go, how did that happen? Yeah. You look back on the Buccaneers last year. I you know, we didn't know if they were going to make the playoffs. They were going to be a wild card. They were 7-5, and then they didn't lose a game. You know, so it's just strange sometimes when you're trying to handicap this saying, I got this figured out. You don't. After 5 weeks, you don't have this figured out. You might not have it figured out after 10 weeks because there's still 7 more weeks after that. That's what's crazy about all of this. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Visit the Dan Patrick Show store if you're a Charger fan or you're just a fan of football, because football is fun, according to Justin Herbert, who said that yesterday on the show. I said, do you go out? And he goes, oh, we're about an hour outside of Los Angeles. You know, I don't really go out that much. I just watch film. I said, well, are you having any fun? He goes, football is fun. And therefore, we made up a t-shirt. Yesterday, if I ask if John Gruden's resignation was the beginning or the end of the story, with other emails in the case against the Washington football team, and will they see the light of day, the NFL Players Association wants to find him too. So do a lot of fans. And this isn't to defend John Gruden. It feels like every time I say this, somebody thinks that I'm defending John Gruden. No, I would have fired him. But I think it's fair to ask, what is going on? The NFL says it has no plans to show those emails for confidentiality reasons. They had no problem leaking John Gruden's emails. What about the confidentiality for that? Remember when they wanted Tom Brady's cell phone? And Brady said no. And I said, you know, at the time, if I'm Tom Brady, I say, hey, commissioner, here's my phone. I'd like to have your phone too. Fair? Good, good? I would not have given up my cell phone, because the league can say, hey, we're going to protect all that's... Who knows what's on that phone? Like, I wouldn't trust them. I mean, you're going to trust them even less. I mean, this is a league that famously destroyed the tapes from Spygate for reasons they couldn't explain, because I asked the commissioner. I asked him, why did you destroy those tapes? They were no longer relevant. Okay. So we have all these emails. Hard to imagine that a handful of John Gruden emails will be the last ones that we see. Maybe, but not without a fight, because if the reason why you started this investigation was to look at a toxic workplace like the Washington football team, I'm going to guess there should be some stuff in there. But it feels like the NFL is protecting the owners. But, you know, after this with John Gruden, it doesn't look good for the NFL. Somebody was out to get John Gruden. Why? And if you're the commissioner, do you want to know who that person is? I would. All of a sudden, you're playing God? Like, you're going to, you know, look, John Gruden got fired, deserved to be fired. He's not a victim. But still, somebody went out of their way. And who's to say somebody won't take something else and say, hey, I got some information on this owner. Hey, you know, I got a couple emails that have to do with this. Who's to say? And before you go, well, no, they won't. They just did it. You did it to Gruden. Who's to say you won't do that to somebody else? To me, that's a bigger picture here as well. Your investigation, all these emails, and nothing to see here. Yeah, see.
It's kind of blackmailish.
It is.
It really is.
It does feel that way. Because I think, and I have a source on it, but I want to be fair in how I characterize this. You, hey, Mark Davis, this is what was said in an email by John. And then Mark Davis didn't really have a reaction. And then they came up with a couple more emails. Like, you're not going to, oh, you're not acting on that? How about these? Then he had to. I mean, that. All right. Apparently nothing to see here. Yeah, see.
some owner is going to be like, I think we should renegotiate our splits with the concessions company. And they're like, really? Let me go dig through my email and see if that's a good idea, owner.
Yeah. By the way, Sunday Night Football, Seahawks go to Pittsburgh, and that'll be 7 Eastern. They start the festivities on NBC and Peacock. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Frank Isola, who is, of course, a contributor to the Mothership Around the Horn, and he is the Nets studio host. We'll talk about Kyrie Irving. Are the Nets going to go into battle this entire season, planning on not having Kyrie Irving? And is there a team that you could possibly trade him to? We'll be back with that and your phone calls here. Dan Patrick Show right after this. October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. I should have let John Gruden know this, or maybe the Washington football team. Yes. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet. Do you think these NFL owners got a hold of their IT guys right away after this? And like, hey, can you scrub my account here? How do you do that? It's great that there's LifeLock, because in an instant, a cyber criminal could harm what's yours. They take your information, your credit, finances, social security number. Yes, Paulie?
I should have got that LifeLock. That DP should have called me.
LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has been compromised, they send you an alert. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. Keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year. Promo code Patrick. 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Promo code Patrick for 25% off. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. Tampa Bay Buccaneers have advocated for purposeful change in the areas of race relations, gender equality, diversity, and inclusion for many years. While we acknowledge John Gruden's contributions on the field, his actions go against our core values. They took him out of the Buccaneers' Ring of Honor, and that was pretty swift judgment, abrupt judgment there. People have pointed out, you know, Warren Sapp with his history, should he be in the Ring of Honor? That's up for the Buccaneers, you know. I got bigger issues to deal with that if you want to take him out of a Ring of Honor. Couldn't care less, but just want to bring that to your attention, that that just happened with John Gruden. A couple of phone calls in here, and then we'll bring in Frank Isola. We'll talk about what's going on with Kyrie Irving and the Nets. And I applaud the Nets for, you know, eventually drawing a line just to say, look, you don't want to do it, then just don't do it. Like, we got to move forward. But I do know behind the scenes, KD is livid. He is livid. And has no problems if they try to trade Kyrie Irving. I do think that James Harden is somebody that the 76ers are still going to try to go after. I know that Daryl Morey loves him, but everybody keeps thinking, hey, we're going to trade you Ben Simmons for Kyrie Irving. If I'm Philadelphia, I don't want Kyrie Irving. Yes, Eden.
But there was just that story about, yeah, we're going to trade Kyrie Irving for Ben Simmons, and one player stood in the way of it. Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, absolutely not.
Yeah, I think that might be changing a little bit there. Because, look, KD wants to be mentioned with the greats of all time. And you get one more title. Now, you can say, well, they, you know, had to build a super team, and he went to the Golden State with whatever. He wants to be in the conversation as greatest players of all time, and rightfully so. This is your opportunity here, because I don't think Harden is there next year. I don't know if Kyrie is going to be there next year. And KD is probably going, hey, I'm playing as well as I've ever played. We are the overwhelming favorites, and we have this. And at some point, you have to move on from Kyrie, but how do you totally move on from Kyrie? Yes, McLovin.
Do they need him to win a title?
I think so. I think so. Like, I don't know how many teams you look at and you go, they could legitimately win a title. Let's say Kyrie's not in the lineup there. Okay, the Nets do have an interesting roster that was... They were all stars back in 2012, I think. but they're still overwhelming favorites. I don't know what to expect out of the Lakers. Even watching them last night, you know, it's going to take people like they want to have a referendum on the Lakers right now after two preseason games. I said, first of all, preseason. Second of all, remember the first year that LeBron joined D-Wade and Chris Bosh in Miami? It took them half the year to get ready. And those guys were in their prime. So I don't expect anything out of the gate where I go, boy, the Lakers look invincible. They look awesome. I think this is going to be a work in progress the entire year. And once they get to the playoffs, I think the dynamic of that team is going to change because they won't be as beholden to Russell Westbrook as they will LeBron and AD. But during the regular season, I'm letting Russell go out there and he can run the offense and you know, kind of chew up some minutes because I want to save LeBron and I hope AD is in shape. I still love Golden State. I know I died on that hill last year, but I still think Golden State is a sneaky, sneaky team. If they get everybody there, they got some youth. Is Thompson going to be healthy enough? Does Draymond have enough? And I thought Steph was going to be MVP last year. So maybe Golden State is one of those teams that could be a surprise, an outlier. I just don't know how, you know, Milwaukee is going to be there. I have no idea what to expect out of Philadelphia. Yeah, Pauline.
And you know those three dudes, Steph, Clay, and Draymond, want to remind everybody because they've been kind of on the shelf for a couple years now because of injuries to one, injuries to another.
Frank Isola, the Nets studio host on Yes, and of course he is a contributor to Around the Horn, Pardon the Interruption, and SiriusXM NBA Radio, the starting lineup host here. All right, where do we go now? Recap the past week, and where are we going with the season starting in, what, a week or so?
Well, if you think about it, Dan, so the Nets found out that he's allowed to practice, that Kyrie was going to be allowed to practice at their training facility. I really think that that was a way the Nets found a loophole because I think they wanted him to show up for work and practice. But clearly something happened between Saturday, Sunday, and Monday when they went to Philadelphia. He was not with the team. The team did not play well in Philadelphia. And then by 11 o'clock yesterday morning, Dan, the statement comes out that Kyrie Irving is not going to be with the team until he meets the requirement in terms of getting the vaccination or if the mandate changes. So there must have been a lot of talk on that bus ride down to Philly because they left Sunday from Brooklyn, returned Monday night after a terrible performance. I think that's the time frame, which is pretty interesting. A lot of conversations clearly took place.
Okay. Explain the policy, the rule here. Is team rule, city rule, NBA rule?
Yeah, it's a city rule, and it applies to San Francisco. I think now it applies to L.A. and applies to New York City and, of course, Brooklyn, where you have to be vaccinated if you're playing, you know, in a large setting like that. So it does not impact anybody on the Knicks. Every player on the Knicks has been vaccinated. It does not impact any player on the Nets other than Kyrie Irving because he hasn't been able to play in the home games. We know that that Kevin Durant, James Harden are vaccinated because they've played already at Barclays Center. Sean Marks was asked directly yesterday whether or not, can you just say officially whether Kyrie Irving is vaccinated? He said we wouldn't be in this position right now if he were. Here's the one caveat, though. Visiting players don't have to be vaccinated as a visiting player to go to those places. So Kyrie Irving, in theory, I think it's the 41 home games plus the two games in New York City because, you know, New York, New Jersey resident, and then he'd be available for 39 games. But the Nets have said, no. We don't want a part-time player. We only want a full-time player.
But what about Toronto? Toronto's got some guidelines. Can he get into Toronto to play?
Yeah, yes. That's the one place he can play. And remember, too, okay, what the NBA is going to do for players, Dan, that aren't vaccinated, you're going to have to get multiple tests during the day. You're going to have to, social distancing, everything like that. They're going to make it very difficult for the players that aren't vaccinated to kind of be part of the group and part of their teams.
What kind of trade market, what kind of trade value does Kyrie have?
I don't know if there's much. No one is questioning his talent. We all see what he can do. You go back to 2016, the 41 points in game 5 against the Warriors, the biggest shot in the history of that franchise when he beat the Warriors with the Cavaliers. But really with Kyrie, Dan, it's a lot of drama. It's a lot of headaches, and it's not enough basketball. His first year in Brooklyn, and there are a number of reasons. He gets hurt a lot, 20 games. Last year, 54. They have played in 3 playoff series. He's really only been available for one. And remember, Kevin Durant left. Think about it. He left the Warriors. He left Steph Curry. He left one of the best teams in the history of the sport to come to Brooklyn to play with Kyrie. Kyrie's not available, but Kevin Durant is out there playing, as is James Harden.
Yeah, it's just, I can't imagine what Kevin Durant is thinking right now, because, you know, he's got this opportunity, thought that they had created something, and the overwhelming favorites. He wants to win these championships to be included in the conversation with LeBron and some of the all-time greats. And meanwhile, you have this. Like Kevin Durant can't convince Kyrie, or James Harden can't convince him. That surprises me.
And I would have to think, you know, the net owner, Joe Tsai, Sean Marks, the general manager, Steve Nash, had a lot of say in what happened. But I find it hard to believe that they don't run this by guys like Kevin Durant, James Harden, even Blake Griffin, who's a respected voice in that locker room. I would have to think that if Kevin Durant is sitting there saying, absolutely not, do not do this, this is a joke, I'm going to be so upset if you tell Kyrie he can't play, I don't think they'd do it. Kevin Durant has to be involved in this decision. And you mentioned, you know, the one thing about Kevin Durant, go back to last year. Here's a guy that missed over 530 days because of the Achilles injury. He has the very good playoff. He's basically on his own, but he was outstanding, especially in the two games in Brooklyn. What did he do a month later? He went to Vegas to play in the Olympics. Dan, this is a guy that has already won two gold medals. Mm-hmm. He's accomplished everything there is to accomplish. That's how much he loves playing. Think about Ben Simmons, who plays for the Australian national team. He has an awful playoff. He says, I'm not going to the Olympics. And now you have the situation with Kyrie. Kevin Durant loves to play basketball. Sometimes you wonder about the commitment of certain players, and I think Kyrie and Ben Simmons fall into that category.
Yeah, I brought up this yesterday about Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons has been entitled. He has been told he's great, whereas Giannis comes over and nobody knew anything about him, and he has continued to work hard to be great. And I love that. He's one of my favorite players because
I agree.
Like there's just something about him that he has that attitude of, I'm not satisfied. Ben, it feels like, got to the NBA and was like, all right, I'm here. Hello. You know, in the words of Tiger Woods, hello, world. And, you know, world went back and go, who cares? And then now, hey, would you trade those two for one another? Well, if I'm the Nets, I'll take Ben Simmons.
I would.
You want to take Kyrie? Go ahead, take Kyrie. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I think that's a problem. And, you know, the one thing about Ben Simmons, too, has he really worked enough on his game? You know, you and I were at those finals games with Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq wasn't always a great free throw shooter, but he was not afraid to get fouled, draw contact, and go to the line. And that's what you love about Giannis. You know, everyone is counting out his, you know, how long it's taking him to take a free throw. He's shooting air balls. He's still drawing contact. And then in the biggest game of his life, he goes 17 of 19 from the free throw line. Yeah. And that's the issue. So Ben Simmons, once all this is sorted out with the Sixers, it's still going to come down to, can a team put you on the floor in the fourth quarter? Are you working enough at your game? I don't need you to shoot a three-point. I think the whole three-point shot thing is overrated. You have to be able to make free throws. That's something you have to work on, whether you need a sports psychologist or you just need to get in the gym and work on your free throws. That's on you.
Yeah, I'd be satisfied with a 15 to 18 foot jumper as well. You don't have to be at the 3-point. Like everybody thinks that's what you have to be able to shoot the three. Kevin Durant has made a Hall of Fame career on shooting the 18 footer. Mid-range jumper. DeMar DeRozan. There's nothing wrong with a mid-range jumper, but you got to make your free throws. We're talking to Frank Isola, the Nets studio host on Yes. I was just mentioning that, you know, we want to have a grade to give to the Lakers after two preseason games. And I went, oh, my God. The Miami Heat, when LeBron joined him, you know, they were a mess for the first half of the year. And those were Hall of, you know, in their prime. This team right now, I don't know when you think you could get a good handle on how good the Lakers are going to be this season. How far in their season?
I think it's going to take a while. I also think, you know, the one thing about Miami, LeBron had gone there, hadn't won a championship yet. He has won a title in L.A. with Anthony Davis, so we know that they can get it done. I'd be worried about, you know, Trevor Reeves is going to be 2 months now. Talen Horton Tucker, he's going to be about 2 months with the thumb surgery that he has had. You know, so already injuries are catching up to them, and it's really not Carmelo, it's not LeBron, it's not Russell Westbrook, it's not Anthony Davis. So you know that those problems are going to come up at some point during the season. They're still the best team in the West, but as we learned last year, the team that finished with the best record in the West was Utah. The team that went to the finals was Phoenix. So those are two quality teams. The Warriors are going to be much better later on in the season when Klay is back to being Klay Thompson. But I still think, you know, if LeBron is healthy, you know, good luck trying to beat the Lakers. I think it's going to be tough.
I'm on the Warriors bandwagon, but I was on there last year, and then it went. So I thought Steph was going to be MVP, and I thought they were a sneaky pick. I still like the Warriors. I'm going to go kicking and screaming here because I just think when they play, and you got some youth there as well with Draymond and yep. Clay and Steph. What do you think of the Golden State Warriors as a dark horse?
You know, we went out there. I was out there 2 weeks ago and spent some time with them. And they did point out it's pretty unique. You usually don't have a contending team that has a solid veteran core like that. And then most of the other guys are young players. Now, some of those young guys are good. A guy like Jordan Poole, obviously, and they're waiting for James Wiseman to come around. I still wonder if there could be a trade in their future. I would think that they would try to get involved with Ben Simmons. I think that he could help them. A guy running the court, he can defend. He could basically play center for them. But I think a lot will depend on Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is driven to get back to becoming the player he once was. I think Kevin Durant is a great model for him because Kevin Durant had a similar injury. Those injuries are different now. You know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, that basically was going to be the end of your career if you suffered an Achilles injury. But you can come back from it. I think they're highly motivated. They're not as great as they were when they had Kevin Durant, but they're still a really good team. And the West really doesn't have that dominant team. So why couldn't it be them? I think Vegas has them at about 48 wins. I think the Lakers are at about 53 over under.
Great to catch up with you again, Frank. Thank you. I'm sure that we'll talk to you again because this story with Kyrie is not going to go. He might go away. I don't know if the story goes away.
Good seeing you. You look great, Dan.
Thank you, bud.
Take care.
That's Frank Isola, the Nets studio host on Yes, Sirius XM, NBA Radio, the starting lineup and contributor to ESPN's Around the Horn. And pardon the interruption. It's just, the Lakers give you content. Therefore, that's why you're going to ask these questions about how good the Lakers look. They don't look good. Not right now, but I don't expect them to. You know, how about I wait? How about Christmas? Is that okay? Will you give me Christmas and then I'll give you my opinion on how good I think they're going to be? Yeah, Paul.
You know, I've never really rooted for or against the Lakers. They've always been entertaining. It's just not my team. But I want Carmelo Anthony to get a ring. He was such a good guy when we had him in studio, which is enough for me. But he's had a good career, and it's like it'd be kind of cool if he got his due in a finals.
I find him interesting on and off the court. And, you know, if you look back a couple of years ago, he's basically done. Nobody was – when the Rockets released you, and then it's like he was done. He was a healthy scratch from the league. And then all of a sudden, Portland picks him up, and he – you know, it's when you accept your role, at what age do you understand your role? When your role changes. And he did. He understood his role, and that's really important. You know, this is going to happen to LeBron at some point where, you know, he's going to have to probably lessen the load that is on his shoulders because he's just going to have to. Paulie thinks that LeBron would rather retire than to, you know, be the third option or something.
Yeah, it couldn't be officially the third option. Like, he couldn't come off the bench. LeBron could surround himself with enough talent that he could pace himself, but he would never not be, in his mind, the guy. And once he does, he's gone.
But I don't think he's the guy with the Lakers now. I think the guy is Anthony Davis. It's just Anthony Davis doesn't know he's the guy.
That's LeBron's team, though.
It is, but you can be sort of the captain of a team, but you're not the star of the team.
Yeah, he's the captain and owns the ship, it feels like, with the Lakers. He drives the ship, sails it, whatever you call it.
Who is the captain now? Yes.
Is he the captain and the star, but maybe the second best player?
Yeah. When Anthony Davis gets it right, you know, there's very few players who are like him. LeBron's not capable of doing that, you know, the way Anthony Davis does. I mean, LeBron still, you know, he's going in at a level, all-time level. Like, he's going to plug him in for 25-7-7. Like, that's LeBron. But I think Anthony Davis is the reason why they win or don't win a championship. He just has to be in shape. He's in shape. He can be a better version of Giannis. He should be a better version of Giannis. He's a better shooter. And he could do everything that Giannis does. But those injuries, that's what it comes down to. And until you see that he stays healthy, you're always going to have that big question mark, that big what if, and hold your breath. Take a break. Your phone call's up next here. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get a couple of phone calls in here. Thought it was a good night for the NHL. You know, it's interesting. ESPN sort of disregarded the NHL when it didn't have the NHL, but got the NHL back and firmly embraced it. Did a great job. It was fun to watch the Golden Knights and my Kraken last night. The Kraken ended up losing that game. Yes, Todd.
They made a good effort, though. They were down 3-0, and they tied it at 3. So even though they lost 4-3, it was an exciting first game for them.
The first goal scored in Kraken history. I think it's Ryan Donato, I think, just in case.
Nice.
Comes up as a trivia question to you. Andrew in Atlanta. Hi, Andrew. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Dan. Good morning. Good morning. I have a stat of the day.
All right. You want music? You're getting it.
Charlie Morton, Max Fried, and Ian Anderson had a combined 1.77 ERA in the division series against the Brewers. Only two Braves rotations have ever been better than that round. Dan, you might recognize these names. Glavin, Maddox, and Smoltz of .79 in 1996. And the trio again, 1.69.
Oh, he got hammered.
Tidal wave.
Yeah, Andrew got hammered. Unlike the pitching staffs for the Braves, he got hammered there. Yeah, the Braves' ERA for this series, the best in a postseason series with at least three-plus games since 1998 NLDS against the Cubs. So, Braves doing it with some timely hitting with Freddie Freeman and pitching. Yes, Molly?
There is nothing. I don't know if nothing, but nothing Seton likes more than putting the hammer down when the wave comes in.
In fact, you raise the volume, don't you?
Yeah, that's the wave crashing. You got to get a little punch. Wah-bang, washed out.
I know.
See you later, Andrew.
Joe in Arizona. Hi, Joe.
Morning, Dan. How are you guys this morning?
Hi, Joe.
Hey, we're traveling across country head to Arizona. My granddaughter wanted to know, why do you think Altuve should make the Hall of Fame when Roger Clemens, Rafael Palmeiro, Barry Bonds won't make it? Also, too, she's on the take. She's going to order you some Jimmy Jamerson shirts. And if Todd Fritz could give us a little Hall of Notes for the road.
All right. Well, thank you, Joe. Well, I just wondered if Altuve is going to be a Hall of Famer. I didn't say that he will be. He's been great in the postseason. But it's different what happened with sign stealing. You know, if it was systemic, how involved everybody. We're not going to find this out until after the fact. That's why it's nice that they wait 5 years. When you finish, that way the stories can all come out, and then the voters can try to vote accurately on that. But Altuve has been a wonderful postseason player, a wonderful story. And the Astros are just the second team in history to go to five straight ALCSs. That matches the Oakland A's of the early 70s. And so it's impressive what they're doing. Is this going to be something that stays with Altuve? Probably so. Is it enough to keep him out of the Hall of Fame? I don't know. I don't vote on these things. Yeah, Paulie.
Altuve is a 7-time All-Star, and he's only 31 years old. You know, maybe MLB never punished Altuve.
No.
They punished others for cheating. They didn't punish him. What if the writers made MLB eat it and put him in the Hall of Fame? They didn't have steroid testing when Roger Clemens allegedly used. So put Clemens in.
But do you want to benefit Altuve just to stick it to baseball because baseball didn't take away something from the Astros?
Well, no, I'm being a little facetious here, but I'm saying like MLB chose not to punish the players, which people are more mad about than the actual cheating.
Well, they had to get the players who were going to come forward and talk about this. That was the only way they were going to, you know, sit down and, you know, once they knew they weren't going to be punished. Yeah, McLovin.
I think the writers would go the other way. They might punish him now because he didn't get punished before. Like, this is our chance to get Altuve.
Yeah.
Baseball missed an opportunity where you just take away the World Series title. You don't want to take away money. You don't want to suspend anybody. Then you embarrass the franchise this way. If it was enough that your manager and your GM got fired, then something happened. Right? Something happened. Under their watch, they got fired. Yeah, McClellan.
I mean, the Saints coach got suspended a year for Bountygate.
Yeah, Sean Payton got suspended a year.
That's kind of ridiculous. Now,
and he wasn't even the defensive coach, but it was under his watch. You know? That's why I always wonder why Belichick didn't get suspended for a year with things under his watch. But Sean Payton got suspended for a year.
As you look back on that, that seems a little excessive, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're making a movie about it. Sean Payton, the year that he took off, he coached his son's grade school team. Kevin James, King of Queens, is going to be Sean Payton. Yeah, Pauline.
Would you rather be overpunished or underpunished? Altuve feels like he totally got away with cheating and got a World Series and MVP. Sean Payton feels like he got way overpunished, lost, I think, $7 million in salary. People feel sorry for Sean Payton. He wasn't a defensive coordinator.
Well, there's somewhere in between. Because Altuve, it was just like, hey, we'll tell you everything. We want, what's it called? Immunity. Yeah. All right. Give us immunity. Play ball. Yeah, see.
Well, right. But unfortunately for Sean Payton, we've spent decades building up this idea of like, trust me, okay, these guys are micromanagers, all right? Every head coach knows every detail of what's happening there, okay? These guys live, eat, sleep, and breathe the team. They're sleeping there. Okay? Oh, no, but he had no idea this was happening. You can't have both of those things simultaneously.
But if that's the case, then Belichick had to know everything that was going on. He had to know about Deflategate.
If that was a real thing, yeah. That's why he didn't know about it, because it wasn't real. It was made up.
Okay, all right.
That's why.
Okay.
That's the difference there between the two things.
Yeah, all right. Yes, McLovin.
I find the guys who got caught multiple times with PEDs but still made hundreds of millions of dollars, like Robinson Cano, they're fascinating. Like, nobody will ever take them seriously, but they made all that money.
Well, A-Rod might go into the Hall of Fame. He might trick enough people to go into the Hall of Fame, but he shouldn't. If you get popped twice, you should automatically be removed from any consideration for the Hall of Fame. Really, you should be kicked out of baseball if you get busted twice. But, you know, they've allowed A-Rod to have a platform on the mothership and fought. I mean, baseball, I mean, hypocrites. Hey, you know, we're going to punish you, but hey, we want to host our broadcast. You want to be on Sunday Night Baseball and you want to be on the postseason? Come on down. Yes, Todd.
But what about those protein drinks that they didn't know that their trainer put something in there that was one of the ingredients on the ban list? Got a lot of that stuff. I don't know. I thought I was just having a smoothie. Next thing I know, I'm urinating and I can't play for the next season. What is that?
Yeah, but that happens to you every day. You're urinating and you can't play.
It's like, I know I'm urinating.
That's true. That is a good point.
I don't know what urinating means.
What was in that smoothie?
Todd ends every hour like this. Every hour.
I should have just kept it as a drug test. I don't know why I had to go to a specific...
It always feels like Todd has to go to the bathroom at the end of every hour. Therefore, it's on his mind.
I do. I get uncomfortable.
Tim Kirkchin from the Mothership will join us. I'm going to ask him if he thinks Jose Altuve is a Hall of Famer. And we'll set the scene for Thursday night's Dodger-Giant game. More phone calls as well. One more item. We close out hour two. Boy, we love this partnership with Panini Trading Cards, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. You get the hottest rookies. You get the biggest superstars, the all-time greats. Only one place to collect them all, Panini Trading Cards, the exclusive trading card partner of the NFL. Panini America utilizes iconic brands like Donruss, Prism, Contenders, National Treasures, and more to deliver instant classic trading cards of the most popular players. Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, so many more. There is something for everyone in Panini America packs. And more than just the NFL as well, Panini, the exclusive home for NBA, UFC, NASCAR, and collegiate trading cards. Some matchups for Week 6. Florida's other teams, the Dolphins and Jags, square off in London. Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson have a showdown in Baltimore. Should be a lot of fun this weekend. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show.